and your fighter squadron was stationed through there. You were in, were you in a, were you in a squadron?
Oh yeah, the whole squadron went at the same time. I was on a radar out there. We were located down planes when they got shot out of there. We located them and so somebody could come
rescue.
Up.
Yeah. Just you tell them about the one about what's his name out in Phoenix. He still has the.
Come on, we slim man. One of the boys is in the outfit since he retired. He bought Iron the Surplus, one of those radar outfits. And he's got it erected in his yard. And he sends me messages. It's a ham radio is what it is. He can send it just like a ham radio. And he sends me messages ever so often.
Really?
Yeah, over that ham radio. And somebody from around here that's got a ham radio will call me and relay the message to me.
Huh.
Yeah, he does it all the time. He wrote a, he always writes a paper every Christmas. Everybody writes in and send him what they've been doing and everything, and he compiles it and mails it out. He'll get on that ham radio and call that man and set up time to send it information out so I can write news about it.
When you were in Italy and Germany, what were the feelings of the people who you were serving with in your squadron of the war and in whole as it was going on around you?
Well, they paid that out of me. One of the 15 of us on an outpost. There was more than that in the outfit. There's about 300 in the outfit, but they had three different outposts. And those outposts was on high elevation, say, always, because you'd have to get radio contact, say, and I was out there with 15 people. We were self-contained, had a did our own cooking, had our own motor to run that radio station for. And those people rotated shifts on that thing. And the way it works, you have three radio stations on a triangle. And if a plane went, that'd probably be 200-300 miles apart. Well, if a plane went down within that triangle, they could shoot a bearing on him all three stations, draw a line across, and tell where he went out. See? And then they'd send rescue people to pick him up.
Whether he was enemy or friendly, they could do this?
Yeah, friend. We didn't worry about the enemy. We didn't worry about the enemy, but if it was friendly, we'd locate him and try to pick him up.
And how did news coming in about the war affect your duties? Did the Battle of the Bulge, or did any battle in particular affect your unit anywhere?
Yeah, Angel. Yeah, I got 5 battle stars. So anywhere those planes flew that we were directing, if they got a battle star, we got one too. I got 5 battle stars. Anvil was the whole last year. Anvil beat you.
Did you lose any planes there?
I lost some planes and people too. Lost a lot of people.
What effects did the war have on the home front while he was gone?
No gas, no sugar, no nothing. Now that's when we got the ration stamps. Everything was rationed. And I was in school at Florence State, which is now UNA. And if I wanted to go home, I had to ride the bus, which was 90 miles, and then my father would pick me up 13 miles from home at UNA, Alabama, and he would have to rake and scrape and get enough gas to just to do that. Everything was rationed. All the food was rationed. That's probably the lines you were talking about. You had stamps to that you could buy so much food during the war.
I come home, I had a 15-day furlough and I gave me 5 gallon gas. 15 days.
But it was bad. I mean,
couldn't find clothes when it was over, really. I mean, when the F was over, you couldn't find clothes. I wore my army uniform for months after I got out because I couldn't find clothes.
Well, all the manufacturing places went into
the war effort?
Yeah, into the war effort. And everything was rationed. I mean, you could buy just so much of anything.
I quit my senior year in high school and volunteered. So I had to go back to high school after I got out. course, I had a GI Bill. Finally, I had a GI Bill. That's the best thing that ever happened this country, the GI Bill.
Sir, I'm on it right now.
I think that this country could afford to give every student to take it a free college education to maintain it better. So I went to school on GI Bill at the end of it, and I went and got to go on. I started off going $90 a month. When I had that boy, I got $120. Furnished my book because I worked service station at night. She's teaching school till that boy come along. But I want to marry it otherwise.
Our son.
Huh?
Our son. Not that boy.
The other day in class, we watched a video on women who worked in factories and made ships and welding and supplied and machinery and stuff like that. Were there any places where women were employed for war efforts in Alabama or Mississippi or where you were at?
Yes, well, I had two older sisters, and the oldest sister had been to business college, and she worked at the Columbus Air Force Base in Columbus, Mississippi, which was about 40 miles from home. And my sister in between the two of us, she's just older, she worked at Aberdeen, Mississippi as a secretary in one of the defense plants. And then when the war ended, well, the defense plants ended, and she came home. And then J.C. came home, and then I came home. And his brother came home from the Pacific, and that made four of us, so therefore, J.C.'s older brother married my older sister, which is not very common.
Were the women reluctant to give up their jobs when the men came home, or did they?
Oh, no, they were happy that the war was over. They just had to start looking for something else to do.
Well, these people all worked in shipyards, and the ladies worked in shipyards nowhere else.
They worked anywhere they were needed.
Mm-hmm. As the war was winding down while you were still over there, were you most scared or afraid as the war was drawn to a close that you might be involved in a serious conflict, that your life would be in danger? Or was it more when you first got there or when you first arrived?
Oh, yeah, during the war, when the war was over, there wasn't no danger. I was just a day it ended. Let's say some chance that you might have to go to the Pacific, but that meant a short life.
Yes, sir.
But if you got out of the service on points. I had 85 points. That's based on the number of months you've been in and that sort of thing. And all my friends got out before I did because I was a mess sergeant. And the captain, the CO, had us laid a son. And I'd been cooking for him all these years. And he wouldn't let me come home. He made me stay and cook for him for fire. I got better for later. Told him off one day, and the next day I was on the way home.
The people who lived in the countries that you were over there fighting for, in France and Italy and stuff like that, what were the people of the native country like, the Germans?
Well, Germans were more equal to Americans. And then I ran to the Italians were filthy. They were filthy, plain filthy. And the French would be next to us. And the Germans were pretty much like we are.
Did you see much of the damages of war? The effects that the war had on the countries that you were in?
Yeah. We were stationed at Heidelberg, Germany one time, and Heidelberg University, you probably read about it. They won the one night. So we took it over, and our outfit stayed there, and they just crossed the Rhine River. And they'd blowed all the bridges off the Rhine River and toward Darmstadt. Germany's on the other side of the Rhine River. And we crossed that Rhine River on a pontoon bridge. First time I'd ever been on a pontoon bridge, and I was scared to death. But Rhine River was pretty wide.
Yes, sir. Did you have any encounters with the Luftwaffe?
No. Now, other than, you mean talking about the airplane?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Other than I've seen them in skylights.
Yes.
You know, if one of them came over and our artillery got after them, they'd shine them big lights up and get them in the lights and try to shoot them down. He'd stand there and watch them trace the bullets. Looked like they hit them every lick. But
really?
I watched one night for 30, 40 minutes, and they never did shoot him down. I don't know where he's too high. Well, it looked like them tracer bullets going right there.
Hmm. And where was it, where was this at?
Rolling Head at some point.
As the war was drawn to a close and you were getting ready to come home, what was the feelings of the people who were ready to come home that you were serving with them?
Most of the ones that I served with had already gone. They left before I did. And they put us on a troop train and someplace, I don't remember where it was, someplace. And it was a little journey. We'd already been through Germany. Anyway, they put it on troop train and sent us to Camp Lucky-Strike, separation from Germany. And then they put me on a boat. I was in the Air Force for 3 years, and they put me on a boat and sent me overseas. It took me 27 days to go over there, and they put me on another boat and took me 26 to come back. And me in the Air Force. And we landed at Boston, Massachusetts, coming back, and longshoremen was on strike. And we still had all of our guns and everything, so with us. And the longshoremen said they weren't going to unload us. And so you just think we ain't going to unload us. And we pulled out them guns. We intended to come unload us. They unloaded us.
What day did you leave Europe to come back to America?
I got back on Thanksgiving Day. Huh?
Yeah, it was in October when you left.
No, it was in November. I left over in October. I got home November Thanksgiving Day.
Because I quit school.
I ate Thanksgiving Day in the Army and Thanksgiving supper with my mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But this was 1945?
45, yeah.
So the bombs had already been dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
What was the feeling of that?
Man, everybody was happy. We might have to go. Japanese said, both my brothers were in Japanese.
Was there a lot of surprise that America dropped the bomb, or that that the bomb even existed?
We didn't know nothing about the bomb. So yes. We didn't know the heck. Mm-hmm. Of course, when they dropped it, everybody was happy. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot of what they got to say about it. Now, Truman did the right thing, dropping that bomb. There'd have been a lot more killed if that war had gone on.
Yes, sir.
Killed for that bomb. But I still got friends that I correspond with. I don't try to call them. Got old boy in Phoenix, Arizona. I got a son living in Phoenix, and we go see him and help. We go out and eat every time we go out there. I got old boy living in Richmond, Virginia. When I go to Richmond, I stop and get together with him. And there's a boy up here at the Valley Head for practicing law that was in my out there. I stopped to see him one time. He wasn't in my immediate outfit. He was in the squad.
Mm-hmm. The lives after the people came back, were there any problems when you came back?
Yeah, problem finding. Yeah, it was problem finding work. I helped her dad a wallpaper house for a while. And then I went to work on the Frisco Railroad and maintaining these old signal lines, you know, that you used to see. You may not remember, so I don't know. They'd come up and down on the side.
Yes.
A friend of mine had a job with Frisco Railroad, been with him a long time, and he got me on to help him maintain those signal lines. And we'd get on that car every morning about 7, go to Ameren, Mississippi, and work those signal lines all the way to Ameren and back. Time I got home at quit time.
Well, that was while he was getting his high school diploma. And I was teaching school.
Before I got my high school
diploma. It was while you were getting it. And then
I just quit and went back full time school. Went on. But they was going to send me to Kansas City. They liked me. They liked my work. So they was going to send me to Kansas City and promote me. I said, no, you just think you are. I ain't going nowhere. So I quit and went back to high school on the college. I finished Mississippi State in 3 years. In June 1946, and walked out of a master's degree in May in 49. And went to work for it before June. I went to work for 3 years from the time I started studying.
And the economic condition after post World War II, what was it like? Was America on the
right? Well, it got better. It got better. It got pretty good. After I got out and started to work, the economic condition was good. Everything has picked up. by then. I guess it took that war to bring it about.
Did the auto industry pick up as well?
Yeah. I didn't even have
a car. Yeah, but you couldn't buy a car.
I couldn't buy a new one. A Ford car then, a new Ford car then, if you get one, cost about $600. And I paid $1,000 for a 39 Ford and about 43. And I drove it for
not that long.